This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody, welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Joe Quazala, and guys, I hate to break it to you, but I know too much about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I know entirely too much.
Ooh,
you know
boy.
Who knows too much as well would be the person who's with me always, every episode, these days via Zoom video chat. Is my co-host, the incredulous skeptic, Kristen Studdard. Hi, Kristen.
Oh my gosh. Hi, Joe. Incredulous and incredible. It's me.
Oh, Kristen, you know what it is. You know what we're in right now.
Don't say it.
Early in June, Lentz. And it's trending. Everybody's talking about it. The news outlets are picking up on it. It's an incredible time for the podcast, for the world at large.
The niche within a niche within a niche of this pun is astonishing. I am incredulous when I think about it, because first of all, you have the stupid Rock Hall. And then second of all, you have a subcategory within the stupid Rock Hall, early influence. And then you have a stretch of a pun. And it's yet somehow it's trending everywhere. I am seeing it. It's everyone is talking about
People
it. And I think it's just to bother me.
So let's recap so far what we've done. We have talked about the history of the early influence category. We last week talked to Rev Payton about Charlie Patton, a true early influence inductee, because as we know, this category historically honors acts from the pre-rock era, which Charlie Patton certainly fits that bill. But now we are going to be getting into the artists that are stretching the definition of early influence. The inclusion of these artists, you know, really changed the game.
But who knows if it will mean anything? I mean, they could just decide this year, this is what early influence category is. And then next year it's all, you know, Victrola artists. So, I mean, if there's one thing that the Rock Hall is known for, it's inconsistency.
That is true. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's it. I'm curious where the category goes from here. Now, do you remember the other two early influence inductees this year?
LL Cool J.
Nope.
No, he's Musical Excellence. Excellence. It's Kraftwerk and Gil Scott-Heron.
That's correct. So with Kraftwerk and Gil Scott-Heron, it's interesting to see, like, okay, they were from the early 70s. Like, what are we going to be considering early influence from here on out? Will it be anyone? Now, they have a specific influence upon their genres, I would say, with Gil Scott-Heron in particular, hip-hop, and with Kraftwerk, electronic. But I'm curious how much we will stretch the category. Will it go to basically, like, have you influenced people? Is that enough? I mean, will early be taken out of the name?
It really all depends on where you sit in history.
Yeah. Like, are we going to see this is where they're going to put the girl groups that they've missed, like the Shangri-Las or the Marvelettes? Like, are they early influence now?
I don't know. I'm like, put them all in. Who cares?
Wow.
I think it's a good idea. Let's do it.
You know, our listeners might be curious because it's just you and I talking. There is no guest with us. That is because we have already talked about Kraftwerk with I think the perfect person to talk to about Kraftwerk, our friend, comedian, actor, Demorge Brown, which we talked to him years ago at this point.
What was this, the first season of, I'm calling it a season.
Yeah, it's from our first year. For
wow.
Sure.
I bet I'm really still all up in arms. I remember especially that first, like the beginning of our show, my one fact that I knew about the Rock Hall was that it was different than the museum. And I feel like that was my only specific fact that I would anchor myself with. Not to say that I know a lot, but boy, do I know a lot more now. Mm-hmm. Than I did whenever this was recorded, I can guarantee.
That's true. I feel like the separation between the hall as an idea and the hall, the museum, used to not just was like your fun fact, but would kind of send you into like a frustrated tizzy of like, okay, it's ephemeral. La, la, la.
I mean, I still do feel that way, but I also just don't care if people know.
Yeah, right. It's not a distinction worth pointing out.
Yeah, I'm like, so what? You can think that the museum is the hall. I don't care. People say it all the time on the show now, and I don't think I've corrected someone in many, many months.
It's fine. Yeah, it's really not worth it. So
who cares? Some might say.
Who cares? So we will be re-airing the Kraftwerk portions of the Demorge Brown episode from that must have been late 2018. And I will be remastering it too. So the sound levels will be perfect. I'll be dropping in clips, which was something we used to not do. So it's going to be edited, and hopefully the listening experience, even if you've heard that episode, I'm guessing it will have been a long time, but even if not, I think it'll be a new listening experience. So let's listen in to the remastered episode with Demorge Brown, all about early influence inductees of 2021, Kraftwerk. We're with Demorge Brown, and we're going to talk about those German computer boys, Kraftwerk.
Yay!
Now, I was saying this before we started, but the way I found out that you were a Kraftwerk fan, I've known you through the comedy scene for a few years or so, and I was trying to find people to come on the podcast that I thought would be qualified to talk about some of the current nominees. And I just put Kraftwerk into Facebook, and your name popped up a few times as having posted about them.
Oh, and I don't even know what I said.
Right. That's you seem to indicate that you forgot. And so I'll pull up. We got two posts from May of 2015.
Oh, good.
I don't know if you can provide any insight as to why Kraftwerk was on your mind at that time. But the May 4th, 2015.
Well, you know, it's springtime for Kraftwerk. It's
Well, actually, it looks like this is based on news. You posted a link that Kraftwerk calculate new slate of 3D concert dates. So I guess they had just put out a tour list.
They toured for seemingly ever and did a retrospective of... First, they did like a greatest hits tour. Then they did a tour where they would set down in some place and do 6 days in a row and do an album a day, basically.
That's very
and
cool.
And all their graphics were 3D graphic images. So you
like
would,
people would wear 3D glasses.
You would get 3D glasses and you would sit there. Cool. They played the Disney Hall and did it a couple of times. And
were you there?
You were. I saw one show. I saw the Computer World show.
Nice.
But I'd seen them before a couple of times. I saw them once at Coachella and it was a mess. It was crazy.
Why was it a mess?
It was first of all, they put them in the dance tent, which has a grass floor. So by the end of the day of all these people, you know, grinding in place, them being the headliners, you get there at night and it's just full of this vapor it smelled like a 4-H fair, basically.
Okay.
And then I think Laurent Garnier was on before them. It's just DJing his stuff. And then Kraftwerk comes on and they just put out the album Tour de France, which most people, you get it and you're listening, you're like, oh yeah, that's pretty good. But the whole trick about them was they had experimented with using essentially subsonic tones on it. So there's bass in it that you can barely hear, if not hear, but you feel it. If you have a good stereo system, it's punching you basically in the chest. Whoa. And they played with this at top volume and people were mashed against each other. And I just remember at one point, two-thirds of the way through, security had to come through and take a woman away because she had become over ecstatic, as they described to us when they came back. So one kid was like, "What happened to her, man?" They're like, "She became over ecstatic." And then wow. The girl next to us.
This is like, you know, she got possessed by the Holy Spirit. She fell out.
She said that she had like a, it was a, such a, she goes, it's such a physical freaking pounding. And I bet you anything with everybody grinding against her.
She orgasmed. She over. In the center.
Over physicalized herself. Yeah. She just sort of.
There's a lot of euphemisms for what.
Sure. She topped up. And then, but they took her away. They were like, they got her out, that she was just overstimulated basically and just had to be taken away.
Wow. Not every band can have that distinction.
I don't know any other band. Yeah. That's crazy.
Is that one of the categories, Joe?
Yeah. And of course, their influence in the category of orgasm.
Yes.
Maybe you can translate this for me. I'm looking at your Facebook. And when you posted this,
I posted in German? Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Ausgezeichnet.
Ausgezeichnet. Just means excellent.
Okay. Great. And then one later, few things make me as happy as the last 5 minutes and 40 seconds of Kraftwerk's
Neon Lights. It's got to be Neon Licht or Neon Light.
Ausgezeichnet.
That song has it's classic. It's been covered by Simple Minds. It's been covered by, I don't know who else. U2 covered it.
Yes, U2 did cover it.
And it's just this gorgeous, resonant song. And the lyrics are very simple. Neon Lights, and at the fall of night, the city is full of lights.
Neon Lights.
It's just sort of like that repeating over and over with this melody. It's great. And then the last 5 minutes is just this instrumental section, this arpeggios. There's arpeggios like all over the place. People hear it now and they're like, "Oh yeah, that's great. It sounds awesome." But they invented the instrument that make that sound.
Like, right. Like when you see everything that references Citizen Kane. Or can I tell you what I know about Kraftwerk?
Yes, I was just going to bring that up because we'll kind of get into it. And
here's
like
what I know about Kraftwerk. I know they're German.
Great.
I know their name is Kraftwerk and it's spelled with a K and an ERK at the end. Mm-hmm. I know they make beepity boopity music for sure. I know it's like a beepity boopity. And then it's kind of like maybe pre-industrial.
Yeah. The wave of industrial music, they came before that. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Did they help usher in?
They're an offshoot of the concept.
Like an offshoot of Kraftwerk?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean,
what is the genre? I mean, literally, and I could not name a song other than the fact that you just said Neon Lights is a song, but I've never heard it. I could not name any. I know.
Oh, yeah, you can. You just don't know.
Right. Yeah, I look forward to learning that I know Kraftwerk.
There's one in particular that will, I think, blow your mind, which will be fun.
Is it Funky Town?
They wrote Funky Town. Even songs like that from the disco era,
ripping them off,
beyond that, in preparation, I've been listening to a lot of Kraftwerk, and it's just kind of been what's been playing. And then when I'm in the car, I was in the car yesterday, and I was driving, and Betty Davis Eyes came on. And it starts off with a little synth line. I was like, this is Kraftwerk.
The drumming at that.
What's that?
That was invented by Carl Bartos invented that. Carl Bartos was in Kraftwerk for a long time, and he invented that drum. Mm-hmm. He was the percussionist who invented that drum that makes the snap.
What do they call that? I watched a little Vox thing about that sound. It's the sound of the 80s, the like drum.
The synth snare or whatever.
The synth snare, the ksh,
the drum machine.
Sounding
drum
like ksh, instead of sounding like a hit, it's sounding like a ksh kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, those concepts are theirs. So that's a thing. So when you talk about classifying them, they really predate class. They originally, and there's a video, if you can find it, it's the funniest fucking thing in the world. They didn't have short hair and stuff. They had super long hair. They came out of the 60s. The Germans in the 60s, German youth in the 60s, had their entire sort of past way of living ripped away from them because after Berlin had been separated and culturally, that whole way of life, there was this sort of I don't want to, people say shame all the time, but there was this sort of like, if you were of German heritage, you were just constantly hit in the face with the fact that you lost the war and that this was your legacy, that this was something mm-hmm. that you were dragging with you. So mm-hmm. the youth started trying to find these new ways of expressing themselves. And they really didn't have a way of music to draw from. So they started pulling on other scenes, American scenes, the scene in London, that kind of stuff. And they had these clothes that were like almost like Bader Meinhof chic, sort of. That's a terrible word. Like university chic, like college kid chic, sort of mm-hmm. like corduroy jackets and bell bottoms and shoes like that. And so they were almost like this hippie band with a guitarist, with a bass player. But then they also had these drums that were made that were sort of like metal discs. They looked like a mm-hmm. cupcake tin.
Yeah.
And then I think the drumsticks originally were cut from clothing hangers that were looped, and there was the whole thing was electric. If you touched it, it made a weird fizzy sort of sound. Uh-huh. And you'll see like it. So the first video, earliest video of them I've ever been able to find is like from 67 or something like that, 68 maybe. And it's them playing as they sort of were. There's a flute that's run through a bunch of electronic filters.
In
right.
Wow.
A real flute.
And Florian. The flute was like a huge part of their like early.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And so they're a real flute playing, not a synthesizer, but a flute played through a bunch of weird filters that was changing the sound. And it's on the news. And so there's like a news guy with a hip leather jacket and long hair, and he's wearing a turtleneck, and he's like, blah, 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 the music of the future, Kraftwerk. Mm-hmm. And then they pan to them on the studio, and they're just standing there playing this. It almost sounds like pastoral folk music, except everything is electronic. And there's the guy playing a flute, which I think is Florian, is playing the flute, and Ralf Hütter is playing an actual synthesizer, and Carl is on these little cupcake
DIY drums.
Oh my God. I know that they were important. I know that they like innovated and stuff. But mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we get into the quote unquote categories?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
So Demorge, when it comes to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there aren't really any publicly announced categories of what makes someone induction worthy. You know, the hall is basically has shut their mouth in terms of like what they consider to be merit. So what I've done as someone who is obsessed with this bizarre institution,
the only official category is that someone has to be 25 years after their first released recording.
Okay. Exactly.
This is like 50 years after.
Yes, right, for sure.
55.
So I put together a list of categories that I think if you do well enough in these categories, you have a good case for induction. So we'll go through these with Kraftwerk and sure. see how they do. And the first category is critical acclaim. And I think Kraftwerk's been I use this phrase a lot, but they've been a critical darling
they're
for
across the board.
Kind of as long as they've been around.
They change everything.
The critics love them.
When it comes to the critics, they're like, yeah, dude, that's very cool.
They have changed literally everything, especially like the DJs now. You look at like Derek May and all these guys. Those are when you do a documentary on Kraftwerk, partially because they hide so much from the public, but a lot of the people they go to are the actual DJs who will sit there and say, you know, here's this riff, this is where this came from, this is where this came from. Like, it's the people who keep the music going.
Oh, you better believe we're going to hit up their influence as well.
Oh, you think that isn't a category.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when it comes to the critics, I think they've always been well received. Maybe at the time, they weren't fully understood. You know, with time, what they were doing grows in importance every single year. But especially when you look at lists, I think it might be the magazine NME straight up said the two most important groups in music is the Beatles and Kraftwerk.
Dang, because they electrified, like they
because they electrified,
they electrified
the world,
everything in
saying?
The world,
like they made it electronic.
It was NME.
It was
the
like
Beatles and Kraftwerk may not have the ring of the Beatles and the Stones, but nonetheless these are the two most important bands in music history. That was from music journalist Neil McCormick.
In yeah, what year?
I think so.
Is probably, he part of the voting body?
I wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, maybe he's one of the ones who got him on the ballot.
But
is this their first year on the ballot?
No. So Kraftwerk has been on the ballot 5 times. This is their 5th time. First in 2003, then they were off the ballot for 10 years, and then it has been every other year. 2013, 2015, 2017, and now 2019.
They got to get it this year. Because it's crazy that they're not in it.
It is crazy that they're not in, but
every single piece of music that's out there almost right now, and certainly in terms of pop music, mm-hmm. is pulling from them, is riffing from them, is mm-hmm. doing. I mean, essentially, the music industry giving up and just saying, like, okay, you know, this is it, is that Coldplay song.
Yeah.
That well, you. Oh, are we'll we get gonna, to you're going to get to that? Okay.
Yeah. That's. Oh. I want to. I'm going to pull that just because I know
I'm
that
like
will.
So intrigued.
That will
what
hit
is happening?
Kristen in a way where she's not expecting it. But yeah. So I think the problem with. And we'll get to this a little bit later, though, is that, I mean, it's just the voting body. I don't trust them to really appreciate and understand the significance of Kraftwerk when we've seen what they go for. You know, they've been up. This is their fifth time. So we know that
that thing you pulled up before we even started, that little, that
yeah, the,
little keyboard thing.
In the room, there's
that's
like
because
a tiny,
of them.
There's a tiny little keyboard in this room that I pulled out.
That that technology was advanced because of them.
Yeah. And it has like it has knobs and like little buttons for drums. It's an Axiom Mini Air 32. And it is only in this room because of the band Kraftwerk. So
okay.
Critical acclaim.
Critics,
yes,
they love
for sure.
It.
And then, you know, they've shown up on lists. And when the next category is called Classic Albums. And on Rolling Stone's Top 500, which we refer to a lot because there's a connection between Rolling Stone and The Hall, Trans-Europe Express was obviously on there. And it shows up on nearly every list of the greatest albums.
Yeah, it just has to.
Yeah. Like, and even the like more populist like VH1 lists from, you know, 15, 20 years ago, Trans-Europe Express was on there of the top 100, which is when you're making a list for VH1, you probably want to put more of your Beatles and Michael Jackson on there.
Joni Mitchell.
But yeah, they put, I mean, Trans-Europe Express, you know, there was no denying it. That's like their definite monster classic definitive album. But even beyond that, I would throw in Computer World as being very classic, and then even Autobahn.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then even like the second tier beyond that, you can throw in Man Machine. Yeah, and it's hard to look at their output and not just see a lot of those are probably the top ones, but you know, one of their great strengths is that they are, I think, an album band. Their work was cohesive and they would put out albums that really fit together. And I think the one category that they aren't as strong in is recognizable songs.
Yeah.
In that, like with Kristen, if I say like, okay, can you name a Kraftwerk song?
I say no, but I can name three Color Me Bad songs.
Right, exactly.
Right
we
off
know
the dome.
Your priorities. So yeah, the category of like iconic songs and recognizable songs, it feels as though that's sometimes where it is a roadblock for people. But there are songs that they have that are more recognizable than you would think. I mean, especially for a band that is very electronic and not super heavy on the lyrics. Sometimes it's about recognizing the melodies.
I wonder if that's why they didn't do why they did those 3 years of tours. I mean, I know they had box sets of they remixed every sound of every album. They did this thing where they took every album, every sound, because they had to do it anyway. Originally, they had been traveling with the original synthesizers, which were the size of rooms. Mm-hmm. So they would have seven trucks following them everywhere they would go. And they were known as this intercontinental band that was like, you know, their whole concept was electronics and the mechanism is going to unify everybody. Mm-hmm. And so then that this was the future and the future was quickly becoming the present. That was their whole concept, generally speaking. So they would travel with these giant trucks and then show up and be like, this is our vision of the future. They'd have to go back and like all these wires, all these things.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
And these trucks would have to follow them. And so at some point after the mix, where they sort of took their studio and redid, they realized everybody was going digital, everybody was catching up to them.
Which I love the name of their studio, Kling Klang.
Aus Düsseldorf. It's in Düsseldorf. Just a yellow cinder block building in Düsseldorf.
Do you speak any German? Do you speak a lot of German?
I used to. I started German when I was 10, and I stopped my first year in college just because it was just like there is no more German you can learn. So I don't know it. But you could get by in Germany.
You'd be all
I
right.
I do it. It works its way into my comedy all the time. It's like it's in everything. Mm-hmm. I have posts that are German posts all the time.
Yeah,
right.
I use Ausgezeichnet all the time. and don't even know that I'm doing it. Like I just didn't know that. But yeah, so they shrunk everything down to these suitcases. Now when they tour, they have suitcases, and they just walk out and place them on the thing, and then just and everything that was in the trucks is each in the suitcase. And so basically, what they were predicting is now, and that's what they're reveling
now, and they predicted it.
So I think that in this tour, what they did was they did every album that way. They went through every piece of every album and made it pristine and perfect. If you buy it, you can buy it a box, or you can buy each one remastered. They're on Spotify. You can listen to the different.
Is the box in a suitcase? Would that be
yeah,
perfect?
Yeah.
If it was,
and then
yeah.
they toured with these 3D graphics and stuff, but essentially re-indoctrinating this public into what they're hearing. So, when I went to see them, I took Davy Johnson, Josh paid him like four people to see them at the Greek. And the guys who stuck with me, some people ran up to the front and other people kind of stayed with me. They were like, wait a minute, is this is them? And I'm like,
that's what it's because
they thought it was from another
me.
Song.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, play me something all right, that's going so, to make me.
Yeah. So this is the one where I think it's could potentially shock you. What? So this is a riff. This is called Computer Love. This is the riff from a very popular song by Coldplay called Talk.
You take a picture of something that's new.
Nothing?
No, I don't. I'm not a huge Coldplay person, though.
Well, the podcast is canceled.
So warm, that song, too.
It is. Yeah, this is a...
So they sampled it, and the story is very funny about how Chris Martin got the sample, because they're known recluses, and they're very hard to get in contact with, so there was some back and forth with some lawyers, and eventually, Chris Martin got an envelope with a piece of yellow legal paper in it, and all it said was yes.
That's perfect. It should have said da.
Yeah, right?
Da?
Or ya?
Yeah. You think
ya?
Yeah, they're not Russian.
Oh, yeah.
Kristen, come on.
You're right about that.
Stay with us.
But this whole track, which was a hit, is based off of that Kraftwerk riff.
It wasn't a hit to me.
It was a massive hit for them. It's like they ended their concerts with it. It was their encore on that tour.
It does not shock me. It was one of their biggest hits, especially from that time.
I know clocks. I know yellow.
Fair enough. But just as a sidebar about, I really love the story of how hard they were to get in contact with. And you could not call them because in their studio, they didn't want any distractions or anything like that. So they would have a phone, but they would turn the ringer off. And they'd say, if you want to call us, you need to call us at this specific time. If you call us at this specific time, one of them would go over to the phone. It would not be ringing. And they would just pick up and go and say hello. And someone would be on the phone because they knew they had to call at that specific time.
The other thing is their chief photographer, this guy's been their photographer for years because they don't want to work with anybody. He just photographs the band, but he doesn't photograph the band. He photographs the robots of the band for the most part that they made of themselves. They make these, every show ends, well, most shows end with the man machine. And at some point during the lighting sequence, they disappear and their robots appear. And then they're just robots behind the keyboards.
Boop bopping away.
Kraftwerk's wild. Let's play a few more tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Hit me with something that I might really know.
They, you know, when disco was kind of the big thing, that became Kraftwerk's kind of entry into the American market, so to speak. And I was shocked to find out they have an album called Autobahn that was number 5 in America. In the 70s, when it was a hard thing to do. And the title track from Autobahn went to number 25.
And it's a seven-minute song?
Because it starts with a car. It's like a seven-minute song. Very American. We like a car sound, first of all. Second of all, we love the idea of driving with no speed limit, baby.
Right? It's the American dream.
Yeah.
And it's in Germany.
And that's in Germany.
Yeah, I pulled up the single version because I think in order for it to chart, it had to be like 3.5 minutes. But the album version is 22 minutes. Which they love
what?
To do. Yeah.
It's Wait,
it took you a second, yeah. So it's essentially a full album side of this song, which the lyrics will come in soon. I mean, it's more or less. It's fahren, fahren, fahren on the Autobahn, which means driving, driving, driving. Although a lot of people...
driving on the Autobahn, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people think they're saying fun, and they think it's like a take on the Beach Boys, which...
Oh, maybe that's why it was a hit.
Yeah.
But it's also, there's like... So there's that level, and then there's all this massive level, like the graphics for that album cover are insane. So it's basically a sign, essentially a sign for the Autobahn. It's a blue field.
Oh, yeah,
with
I
a
saw
white,
it.
Yeah.
But that's the cover of the album, yeah.
So, but up to that point, almost all album covers were about
it's about babes.
About the band, really.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sure.
You know,
yeah, about
the artist,
who's in the
showing
band,
the artist and whatever.
Yeah.
And they were just more about, this is a concept. Not that Yes didn't do that with theirs, but this is like a minimal concept. Everything was reduced down to, we're going to talk about a feeling, an impact.
I mean, the biggest thing is that I can hear, and I know that we will talk about influence soon, but I mean, it all sounds like other things. I'm like, this is the mm-hmm. Drive soundtrack. I'm like, yeah. this yeah, yeah. is right? Daft Punk. This is, you know what I mean? It
this
all,
is LCD.
Yeah, so exactly.
All those instruments that those guys are using, of course, are the size of this, whereas when they made this, they had to go wire a bunch of stuff together, you know, and make, there's a reason that their albums are like, I mean, in the beginning, they were sort of like 2 years apart or a year apart mm-hmm. and stuff, but then they started going like 8 years between albums.
Right, to really, yeah. So, and then we've played this track before, Trans-Europe Express.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because it's famously sampled.
Yes, because when you played it, when you were revealing the nominees, I was like, did Afrika Bambaataa get nominated?
Which he's been nominated right. before once, but yeah, this is, yeah, very recognizable. Yeah.
And Planet Rock is like, has Numbers in it too, right? It's got this and Numbers mixed together, I think.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think Numbers is in there.
Because this is the most prominent one, because if you listen to Afrika Bambaataa, it's like pretty front and center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, there's the Numbers, that top percussive. That's Carl Bartos.
Okay.
The pew, pew.
Hey, wow. We're going to stop all the fun of the old Kraftwerk episode, which I looked it up and it was recorded on November 13th, 2018. But we are stopping it momentarily so we can take a little bit of a break. But when we come back, we are going to hear more from the remastered Kraftwerk episode with Dimorge Brown, so don't go anywhere. Welcome back, everybody. We hope you had a nice break. I hope
over your break that you feel like you aged, I don't know, like 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. But why don't we take you back to those days of your youth, the Dimorge Brown episode talking all about Kraftwerk from a few years ago. You know we're re-airing it. You're in the middle of the episode. I don't have to tell you. Let's jump back in to 2018.
But, you know, that's kind of where the recognizable kind of riffs end. Pitchfork put out a list of, like, 500... important great songs, and you know their list, unlike Rolling Stone, hews more to the indie side, the underground side, mm-hmm. things that, you know, aren't as mainstream. And you know, Trans-Europe Express was on there, so was the aforementioned Numbers. Yeah, they like to really get you in the mood.
Before the beeps and boops start. This is definitely hyping
me up. My friends, when I was a kid, we knew this whole beginning part. We were like counting in numbers, like each new sanshi, and just doing all these different languages. And we had the most fun.
This is neat. I mean, this is cool. Yeah. I like this. It sounds so much like music that is made today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Wow.
Well, this is where breakdancing came in.
Yeah.
This is where it started fusing with breakdancing and downbeat.
And I just love that Kraftwerk, their names for their songs are like Numbers, Computer Love, Pocket Calculator, which is a real one.
The single that came after this, though, that Tour de France, do you know that one?
No, I don't.
So it's in Breakin', it's in the movie Breakin', in the scene where the kid gets, he's at work.
Where he dances on the ceiling, that's Breakin'
2. No, where he's like, got the broom, and he's outside, and he's basically doing the Sorcerer's Apprentice with the broom, and he's breakdancing. That's Kraftwerk's song about the Tour de France, because, this is another crazy thing, in the beginning they worked at night all the time, and the reason they worked at night was because they were big into cycling. And so they would be riding their bicycles during the day. Not motorcycles, bicycles.
Wow.
Just going nuts.
And so they finally, and eventually they did an album about the Tour de France. He did a whole album about the Tour de France that came out in the late 90s, early 2000s, mm-hmm. something like that. But they had this one single called Tour de France, and Breakin' put it in. And there's a whole scene, that kid. Its biggest influence on music, you know, is breathing in songs.
Right.
Oh, this sounds like house music. Like, this very much sounds like
Push
house
it.
Music.
Push it real good.
Yeah. Wow. And this sounds like somebody riding a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
And the gears are, bicycle gears are the percussion. Like, here come the bicycle gears.
This feels like, too, like we're watching Tron. All of this feels like. Did they do the Tron soundtrack?
I don't think so, but I watched them. I was watching some concert footage of them, and sometimes they just straight up, the way they're dressed head to toe looks like they are straight out of Tron. Yeah. You know, with like the grid body suits. Yeah.
Yeah. This sounds like.
Tour de France.
Very simple lyrics with Kraftwerk, which I appreciate.
Yeah. They want you to just be feeling the beat. I mean, this is just, you know, I don't know. I can imagine. This makes me want to smoke a cigarette and step touch.
And then the third song, they had three songs on that Pitchfork 500. The third one was something called Computer World 2.
That's the murder of...
Which, you know, obviously there is a Computer World 1 that opens the album Computer World. Again, they keep it simple with their...
But they bring numbers back. See, that's the thing, is numbers happens, and then numbers goes right into Computer World 2. So you get this intro, and then numbers comes in and lays over the top of this. So this is going, and then you hear this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
And I want to make sure I throw on... Neon Lights, because of the Facebook status, mostly.
But this is important, because this is one of those first statements that the music is digital, that it's, because when you start putting it, you're reducing it down to, it's all numbers, and it was numbers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the 1900s, all music was 3/4 time, it was waltz. It changes, and now, but it's all numbers. It all comes down to numbers, which is the whole point of that record.
It's wild.
Computers run everything.
Let's throw on
Neon
Lights.
Zeros,
oh yeah,
baby.
this is especially if it's the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm gonna look up exactly your is the last 5 minutes in 40 seconds. So I will try to jump to exactly that. But we'll listen to the intro for a little bit. Here we go. We're about to get into the last 5 minutes and 40 seconds.
I mean, this also reminds me of music that I really like, because, like, I love Cut Copy. You know, there are so many bands that are so derivative of this music that I'm like, that I really do like a lot.
And video games.
Yeah. Also, I've definitely played a video game before, and this sounds like I'm doing it right now.
So the Japanese loved them. And then that's what Yellow Magic Orchestra sort of came about, because of Kraftwerk. They're like the Japanese Kraftwerk.
Okay.
And Ryuichi Sakamoto is in that band, Harry Hosono, a bunch of other guys. Their big hit, which came out around the time the Computer World came out, and they're just copying Kraftwerk. Not shamelessly, but like tribute to Kraftwerk. Yeah. And they had a song called Computer Games, which is just literally songs from Midway machines merged together into a symphony that they would play, that then became the song Firecracker, which you also know. You don't know, you know, but you do know. They had their own fan band, basically, that was also a major influential band worldwide. It's insane. It's madness. They're insane.
Right.
What is our next category?
Right. So unfortunately, they don't do great in terms of recognizing the songs until you kind of hear them and like you get it, because it's like you don't recognize maybe the song, but you recognize how it has permeated throughout all of music after it.
All of Duran Duran.
The next category is commercial success. Now, they're not a band that is breaking the bank. They're not a band that is going nuts. But, you know, like I mentioned before, shockingly to me, Autobahn was a number 5 record in America when it came out in 1974. After that, it was a pretty steep drop. You know, the next one in America, Radioactivity was 140, Trans-Europe Express was 119. They're consistent, but across the world, they do much better. In America, it's not like they're selling nothing, but it's also, you know, they're kind of in the middle towards the low end of things. But they've been able to, if we talk about the next
and
category,
the touring too.
Longevity, you know, they still put on a really great show. And like you said, you saw them at what was the festival?
I saw them at Coachella. Well, I saw them at Coachella, and it was crazy because I was at, my friends wanted to go to one stage. We planted ourselves there, the main stage, and it was like Hives, some other band, Bell and Sebastian, blah, 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 Pixies, and then Radiohead. And I was like, I'm going to stay with you guys. until the Pixies, and then I'm getting the fuck out of here, and I'm gonna go find Kraftwerk. By that point, it was just a mile of people. It was a quarter mile of people and a quarter mile wide. But the best part was Kim Deal, and my friend stayed, and Kim Deal goes, I'll see you guys at the Kraftwerk tent. Good night. And I was like, see you fuckers later. And I just ran as far as stepping through and around people and got there early, like during Lorraine Garnier's set. And so then I was in. And sure enough, Radiohead did their set, and then everybody started trying. I couldn't get out of the tent when the show was over because everybody was outside listening.
There is no escape.
No.
I mean, that is a...
Tiny cry height.
Quite a distinction that they can, you know, be a huge draw for a festival now.
Other massive. You know? It's insane to me because it really is. Maybe that's the true measure of their greatness, is that a lot of these people can't sit and go with you slug for slug with them, but if the music's playing, they get it. If they're playing somewhere, they know they're going to say. And for a lot of people, they wanted to see these 3D graphics because that show was that in and of itself. It got into the point where the last tour was a fine arts exhibition. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. It was a modern fine arts exhibition. It was more than the music. It was what they call a Gesamtkunstwerk, which is like your entire body of work.
I love that
presented.
Gesamtkunstwerk.
And if we talk about longevity in terms of like the height of their artistic output, I think we're probably looking at Autobahn was like kind of the marker of who they were. And, you know, there's like kind of before Autobahn and like after Autobahn, which was 74. And then, you know, it was Radioactivity, Transurban Express, Man Machine, Computer World, all the Electric Cafe, all the way up to 86. And that's kind of, I would say, that 12-year period, which is a good run of like you're firing on all cylinders, you're putting out your best work. You know, not a lot of bands have that. You know, it's also
that's
not
a
like,
long one.
It's not like they were. I mean, they were still doing that. Probably, if we're being honest, that's kind of where they drop off in terms of relevance in the public eye. But still putting out stuff and still being able to command a presence and a following so many years later is impressive.
Yeah.
That's why.
The next category, we've touched on it a bunch, but influence and innovation, this is where they are probably, they do better in this category than nearly anybody else who's ever been around.
Yeah, listening to a lot of their songs, they have influenced everyone and they've changed music and the course of it.
Yeah, because it's not only, at first you think like, oh, okay, the synthy 80s music does not exist without Kraftwerk. That's maybe the most immediate. I mean, maybe even before that, some disco stuff does not exist without Kraftwerk. The disco stuff that sounds more electronic-y, you know. I think of, like, I Feel Love by Donna Summer, which has the Giorgio Moroder thing going. Which, you know, you maybe call him more of a contemporary of Kraftwerk, but I think that's all part of the same.
He's on record as saying he pulled it from them.
Okay.
And the other thing is they don't exist really without Bowie going, this is the best shit I've ever heard. And every interview that he went to was like, by the way, have you heard Kraftwerk? They're amazing. And then his whole 3-album series where he goes to Berlin. And then there's a song, a tribute to Kraftwerk. There's a song called V2 Schneider. Because Florian Schneider was a member of the band Kraftwerk.
Right.
So he put this song called V2. I don't know why he put the fucking rocket on there, because it sure decimated the shit out of London, scared the hell out of him. But he, the Baron von Braun's rocket. But he called it V2 Schneider, and it's done in that bare electronic sense. It's like his version, he and Eno's version of it. It's trippy, too, because there are all these other German bands. So Michael Roeder, who started with them, left and formed Neu. And then there's this band Cluster that just lived on a farm. They would experiment with like recording, taking a shovel and hitting a tractor and using that as a sound to build a song around it.
It's
all
funny,
these
too, to be like in such an organic place making synthetic music.
Mechanical, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how they were. And
that's interesting. I always thought that band was pronounced Neu.
That's what I thought. But it's
Neu. Yeah.
Neu. Interesting.
Neu. So that's like how an Australian person says
Neu. So like there's that direct, almost immediate influence, and then as you creep into 80s and you're hearing synthy sounds like that, all like I mentioned Betty Davis eyes before, but like any that those kind of synth lines and that like the I forget what we called it,
like
the drum,
but that crack drum is that's Carl Bartos, that's his synth
straight from them, and then hip hop, I mean so much early and throughout hip hop is if not directly sampling Kraftwerk, like we heard Afrika Bambaataa, it's sampling things that were influenced by Kraftwerk. And I think Kraftwerk's work is so a part of, weirdly, the hip-hop story, you know, for these weird German guys to be foundational for what hip-hop was.
And then there's the other songs on those records, like, you know, on the other side of Trans Europe Express, there's one of my favorite songs is Endlos Endlos, which is just about the fact that ultimately when you get down to it, its borders are, it's a melody that's sort of just repeating, like almost like a Schubert type melody is repeating, but it's all a computer that's doing the thing.
In English, it's Endlos Endlos.
It's as if you're in a train, you're in this Trans Europe Express, which was a new concept that you could just get on a train and just go all the way across Europe on a train, a high speed train. And it just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. The song just loops over and over and over, like you're looking out of a train right now. And then the only lyrics in it at the end are a computer voice that's echoing, going endlos, 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 endlos.
These guys,
just
they're wild.
Conceptual
they're
wild. Beauty.
They're a big deal. They're and also, as we've said, every like so much of dance music today is like utter A to B.
Right. So any electronic music, dance music, that all, it's so a part of the DNA of that genre.
Especially also like early 90s, like house music too, very, very influenced by them.
The fact that Computer World comes out and has several songs that are about the idea of people owning their own personal computers at a time when that concept did not exist.
They also created the future.
Yes.
Yes, we're on the right track, at least.
Yeah.
If you go to the Rock Hall's website and you go to Kraftwerk's page, the first thing that's written is Kraftwerk is the foundation upon which all synthesizer-based rock and roll and electronic dance music is built.
That's the headline, and that is correct. Damn.
It's hard to even scratch the surface with the influence and the innovation, but like they are beyond anything you could even, like anyone maybe who's ever been nominated or inducted. Like it's hard to really put your finger on it or articulate it. The last category is, does my mom know who they are?
Ooh, does she?
But that's because of me.
You're right. And you know, I'm going to straight up text her right now.
When I asked my mom if she had heard of MC5, she responded several hours later with "not sure,"
which is a no.
I'm guessing it's a no.
And the point of this category, and maybe in a way, it's the most important category because it takes a temperature of, is this a band that generally people know?
Yeah.
And if
does your mom write you back right away?
My mom,
oh boy,
unfortunately has to say no. She does not know Kraftwerk.
Oh. That's nice that she didn't try to couch her bets and be like, maybe. Like, my mom is not willing to admit that she doesn't know who they are.
No, and a follow-up, neither does dad.
Wow.
Mom and dad both don't know Kraftwerk.
If I text my mom right now, maybe I'll hear from her in a few
hours. Which is probably the roadblock that's keeping Kraftwerk. They've been up. This is their fifth time. This is the roadblock that's keeping Kraftwerk from getting in, is they are monumentally influential and have put out very good work. But the average person on the street in America, especially, does not know who they are.
The stars of today. The girl that's in the trailer when you go to see movies and playing in the pre-trailer stuff where she's got her beats on and the guy's asking her, like, "Was this the hardest song you ever recorded?" And then they cut to fake documentary footage of her going, oh. And then her finger kind of goes up in the air and she's in the studio and she nails it. And she's like, "Yeah, it was tough. But I got real personal," and it's all about Dre's beats. Like those stars, the America's Got Talent stars, they don't give a shit about where the music comes from or where the sounds come from. You know, they think it comes from Pharrell.
I like that you reenacted the whole preview that you see.
I'm so mad at that. I see a lot of movies, and I have to see that.
Good.
And I love these headphones to death. And the designer of these is a good friend of mine. But like that ad, I want to punch in the face every time I see it. Just like stop fake singing.
That's really funny.
Well, shall we do our verdict?
Yes.
So, should Kraftwerk be in the Rock Hall? Will they be in the Rock Hall? And when, and will it be this year? And we'll start with Kristen.
Okay. Should they? I'm now a yes.
You've been converted.
Big time. Well, there's just no... The amount of influence that they've had it is undeniable. They absolutely, without a doubt, should get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They also will get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It is just a question of when. Do I think it will be this year? I do not. Do I think it should be this year? Yeah. I mean, they should get in this year. Roy Trakin voted for them.
He sure
There's
did.
One vote. We saw what number? How are they doing in the fan poll?
Not great, Kristen. They're not doing great in the fan poll. I mean,
do the fans count? Does the fan
as
poll count?
One ballot
out of so it's like
so
one.
So there's a million votes, and that comprises one ballot. And you know, the ballot looking at who does well is also an indication of like what who
they
and
are
what people
second
know.
To last, just above our friends the MC5,
in between
or
Rufus
not the MC5, MC5,
and MC5. Yeah.
Wait, just above Rufus?
Just below Rufus?
Just below Rufus
and just three. Above MC5.
Who
the last
are these
three
people?
In the fan poll? They're
these
big
are...
Def Leppard heads.
All right,
I'm sorry.
Okay, what
Demarge.
Do you think? Should they? Will they? When? And will it be this year?
Absolutely, should be sooner than possible. And I think they will go in. And if they do go in, I'm really curious of two things. Number one, who's going to show up? Because the band
That's our next thing. We will.
Oh, you're going to talk about that?
We will
the
get
members.
To that, yes.
So there's that. And the other thing is, where the hell is this new freaking album? They're so airtight on it. It's been done for five. There was
it's like in the can already?
Well, there was an executive who said it was delivered 4 years ago before they went on the other tour. Like, the new record's been delivered. And then she disappeared. Nobody's ever heard from her again.
Whoa.
So I think the new record is
that
done.
Is she?
And Rolf is like, 2017 is the last time he's on record as saying, well, the new music, we're working on our new music and we're trying to get it right. And when we have it right, then we'll bring it to you. But this is not the long, it's all about like the long term. It's like, we know the record's done. Put the music out.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll get in this year?
I want them in, yes. Okay. Yes, right. Absolutely, yes.
You're
they will get in.
I think, they put him on his
I just think that it's like at this point, it's like a, you can't.
Right.
No.
So, Kristen, you said no for this year, but we didn't get a prediction for when you think they would eventually get in.
Oh, gosh. Well, I think if they don't get in this year, I think it's probably going to be 5 years from now. I just don't see, like, if this isn't the one, I don't see them getting back on the ballot for a couple more years. And then maybe they'll get in after that.
Okay.
What do you think, Joe?
I think, obviously, they should get in. And I do think they will get in. But because of the voters, I know kind of who the voters are. I don't think they're getting in this year. And
they were a slam dunk for Roy.
No, that's not true. He was like on the fence, and he was like pretty sure.
He was like, it's got to be Kraftwerk.
He was like, I got to do Kraftwerk.
And you were like, what about The Cure?
Yes, I did say that. But I was fine. I was fine because I feel like if you put Kraftwerk on the ballot, that's like, of course.
Oh,
I love
hey,
The
my
Cure.
Mom
I
responded.
Just think they're newer.
I said, do you know the band Kraftwerk? And she said, sorry, no.
Yeah, right.
That's okay. So that's, not many
and that's
people
why
do.
I think they're so low on the fan vote. And that's, it's hard for me to envision a ballot where I see them winding up in the top five.
They're going to have to do this will never happen, but Pharrell's going to have to do a Kraftwerk remix.
Right. Something super mainstream and populous like that needs to kind of come through, or there needs to be, we've talked about this before, a documentary that's like really huge or like a biopic. I mean, that's how NWA ended up getting in.
They're not going to let it. You know what
it's
I mean?
Have Will Forte
love.
Play. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be, unfortunately, I think it's going to be more than 10 years from now. I think it's going to take some time just because I imagine
it's
so
like
many
bands
different...
that they've influenced will have to get in first.
Like Depeche Mode will probably get in before them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, well,
which is crazy.
Yeah.
Which is ironic.
Doesn't make it. Devo will probably get in before them. And it's weird to think of like, will we get to a point where LCD Sound System gets in before them?
Whoa.
I mean, like, I don't know. It's weird, but like.
If that happens, what's his face will say something when he gets on the microphone.
Yeah. James Murphy is going to be
James
like.
Murphy will say.
Well, let's talk about what you were mentioning before, which is they have who gets inducted. And so it's the classic four lineup. You know, it's Ralph Florian, Carl Bartos, and Wolfgang Floor. Those are the ones who have been included because they publicize that when the nominations are announced. And that's about right. When it comes to their peak artistically, it was those four guys on the majority of those classic albums. It's not who's in the band currently outside of Ralph. Now, there's other guys who joined in the 90s who are not included, and I get that. The band you're inducting is the band from Trans-Europe Express and that kind of thing. And you were mentioning before, you're skeptical that you could get... All four are still living, correct?
They're all living. My understanding is that there's a lot of bad blood. When they first started, before there was a Kraftwerk, there was a Ralph and Florian. So it was just Ralph and Florian doing some experimental things. And then they were called Tone Float, I think. And then they became Kraftwerk. And there's Kraftwerk mm-hmm. 1 and 2. Those are the albums with the road cones. One's green, one's red. Then Autobahn. So that's – but Bardos is in, and he's his primary job was percussion. But the problem is that – and this is weird. So the problem is that both Floor and Bardos were upset when they were making the mix because Florian and Ralph decided to take their entire – their Kling Klang studio and mm-hmm. rewire it, make it digital – take all the wires out if they could, redo everything. That meant for their music, for them playing live, they would have to redo everything they did, make everything digital, mm-hmm. wiring components, yeah. they could just do whatever. And it took years, and it kept going and going and going. And those guys wanted to make new music, and they're like, look, this, we're set up, let's just make some new music. They had new music that they just hadn't put out yet. That stuff is lost. All those songs are like just in a vault somewhere. And they didn't, so Floor left first, and then Bartos left. And then there was this crazy wave of media, and it's very spare because they didn't do a lot of interviews, but one of the things that sparked them doing interviews was that Floor would come out and go, well, those guys were just pay for hire. They weren't in the band. Oh, and you're like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yikes.
So when they put the Tour de France album out, which is several years after the actual single came out, they redid the cover. The album cover, you know, you can get into their graphics with Emil Schultz, this other guy who's doing like their sort of graphic design influence and that thing. But they're on the cover riding bikes in a graphic formation.
Yeah.
They replaced their faces on the new single with the plays of the new for hire. Like Fritz Hilpert, I think, was one of the guys, and somebody else
was
brought in.
Yeah, and Henning Schmitz.
So I don't know who's still there now, but also it was Ralph and Florian for a while, and Florian left. I think for health reasons, Florian finally left maybe 4 years ago. He's just like, I'm too old to be doing this.
Yeah.
So he left. So Ralph had sort of repopulated the band with
and he's
the only
you know key member who's
younger
still
fitter robots
basically so maybe Radiohead will get in
Radiohead will get in before Kraftwerk so it'll be interesting to see.
So I don't know because I don't think the blood is like I don't think that any of that stuff has been one book is
out.
Called I Was a Roboter, and he was basically trying to give some behind the scenes gossip basically that would take away the image of them as these sort of perfect robotic people who only did their music and talking about some of the weird shit that they did.
Interesting.
That through club stuff that they were into.
At the very least, they could have the current touring band play, which tends to be how things work when bands have bad blood.
Yeah, and play some new music. God damn it. Yeah. Play the new stuff.
Well, this is the next thing that we will talk about, which is what songs do they play? Usually they play
three songs. Set.
Oh, wow.
I would guess Trans-Europe Express for sure.
Uh-huh.
I would guess maybe Autobahn. That seems like a good bet. And then probably Computer Love. And that spans three different albums. That gives a pretty good encapsulation of their career, I think. Of like their probably three best albums and like the most iconic songs from those albums would be my prediction of what they play. But also, it's kind of up to them. So
I wonder if they would get, if they would give them a partial or a buy and let them either close out or open with Man Machine in
maybe
some way.
Maybe they would do like a medley type of thing.
Or do something.
And also,
they could do Numbers, Computer World, and put that Computer World number 2, which is Numbers and
they
Computer
can,
World.
Yeah. I was going to say, they could very easily do a medley.
Yeah.
Because of the kind of music they make, they could do...
I think they'd do Radioactivity. That's their big mission. Right now, that's their big mission. The whole purpose of that album was coming out of that political corner, and it's only gotten bigger and bigger. They've expanded those songs, the intro to those songs.
They're trying to
make a political message
too.
Yeah.
I have no thoughts on what song
they would
play.
Hard
other
for you
than the one that was the African Bambaataa.
That's Trans-Europe Express.
Okay, that song, that then like they absolutely have to play that one. That's the song I think they have to play.
They just play metal on metal from that at some point. Just over the middle track of that is like that Trans-Europe Express has a middle section called Metal on Metal, which is just literally sounds of the railroad up against each other. Mm-hmm. But
that sounds horrible.
On top. And yet, when you hear it, it's the but it is the basis of all of Bambaataa and all that sort of electro music.
They're the type of group where they could have a set and then I would find out later what they played.
Yes.
You know, I'd be like, they played 18 songs. I didn't realize. I thought it was just four. That's crazy. And then another question is, who inducts them? You know, someone has to, someone gives a speech to induct them.
Yeah, geez.
You know,
it would have been Bowie. I would have said Bowie.
Bowie would have been great. Bowie would have been perfect.
It would have been Bowie.
Although Bowie did not like the hall, and he never showed up. But James Murphy is a good Donkey Kong.
What's his face from Coldplay?
Is a good
Chris Martin.
Oh,
maybe?
Chris Martin.
Yeah, Chris Martin, because he could tell that story.
That would be funny too, and people love Chris Martin. Like he's very popular.
Ball.
And
he inducted
plays
Peter
ball.
Gabriel.
When are they eligible? Coldplay.
Oh gosh,
oh, geez. Ever
in 5 or 6 years or something?
They will get in.
Well, I'm
they
just saying when do they become
in.
Eligible
for what?
I'm going to tell you right now.
I don't
now,
have anything against them; they're very likable. But
they
I mean,
will
honestly, for
get
what?
In.
They'll get in immediately. They were huge, and they have a lot of.
They're still, I mean,
yeah, and that, they've stayed huge for a long time.
Even though I've never
we'll
heard that song
episode.
That everybody knew.
That's yeah,
like,
you didn't
it's
know.
It's like saying when does Maroon 5 get in? I just don't.
No,
see
I don't.
See
that's very.
Oh boy.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, and I don't even like Coldplay, but I just don't think that that's accurate.
Mm-hmm. I do want to point out that I mentioned that Donkey Kong could induct them, and I got zero response. So I want to make sure that no one
Well,
heard.
I mean, I don't know. You can't get Donkey Kong to
Should
show
I
up. You
said,
could get Diddy.
What
maybe
about,
Diddy Kong?
Yeah, Diddy might show up. Diddy Kong. Qbert would probably do it.
What about
he's
Mario?
More their era.
Would he do it?
Nah, Mario, he's, you know, the licensing
What
alone
about
is.
Dr. Mario?
Yeah, show up in the scrubs. Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of... I'm not sure. People sample Kraftwerk, but...
I bet you Pharrell would introduce them. Like, somebody... They would get somebody from dance culture, from hip-hop.
Yeah,
some
producer.
We get someone from hip-hop,
yeah.
Or Dre, or somebody.
He inducted Nile Rodgers a few years ago. So.
Pharrell did?
Yeah, Pharrell did.
Oh, yeah. There's good precedent for that, then.
I mean, have the Daft Punk guys go up and not say anything but hold up, like, words to it.
Yeah, or they would hold up one of those little things, you know, like a scroller.
Yes, the electronic
like,
scroller.
Just electronic scroller.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about who could and yeah how Kraftwerk would be inducted. James Murphy seems like a good one to me, and I'm trying to think of like, I mean, I have no idea if Trent Reznor has any feelings or connections about Kraftwerk.
Sure.
I assume he does.
I would assume
that's another reason that I think of them as pre-industrial is because I always associate them in some way with Nine Inch Nails in my head.
Because mm-hmm. It seems like those two are never on the ballot at the same time. Anyway.
All right. Well, that was the Kraftwerk remastered episode with Demorge Brown. One thing we didn't really, I mean, we talked about when we thought Kraftwerk was going to get inducted, but now that they're being inducted and it's in the early influence category, we've talked about this before, but I don't think that they're going to spend a lot of time on the induction. It might just be a package. I mean,
you don't think they're going to do a full stage show?
I don't see Kraftwerk showing up to Cleveland.
Yeah,
it would be very cool if they did, and I bet the producers are going to try to get them. But if they don't get Kraftwerk, I don't think they have a tribute performance because I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. Do you think that the early influences are all going to get in one jumbled up package because it's going to be a wild ride?
I don't think so.
Do you think they'll each get their own little?
I think they'll each
think
get their own.
It'll be a micro package?
Little thing, but I do think emphasis on little. Like, I think it'll probably be package and performance. I think the speeches will be folded into the packages. I think basically the only side category that's going to be treated like a normal induction will be LL Cool J. They will act like that's just a normal induction. He'll have a speech, he'll have a package, he'll perform.
Yeah.
You know, but Kraftwerk, I mean, the only thing I could think of, which would be kind of interesting, and it would accomplish something more than just this induction, which is that last year Depeche Mode and Nine Inch Nails were inducted. They did not get to perform because the ceremony was virtual because of the pandemic, but you could incorporate them in some way, you know, involving them in a live way because they missed out last year, one or the other, and then having that be, you know, they could cover a Kraftwerk song.
Maybe it'll be like the Oscars and they'll just have a DJ.
Yes. I mean, Questlove is already, he's the one who always does that. So he's already
involved.
So
just for the intros and outros, when they throw to commercial break, they'll just play a second of those songs up from him as the DJ.
But yeah, I hope there's something cool knowing how much stuff they need to get through this year and knowing the Rock Hall and knowing that, you know, Kraftwerk isn't the thing that's bringing the eyeballs to the HBO ceremony. I'm not expecting much. All right. Well, that just about does it for this episode. A walk down memory lane. what a nice time we certainly had.
Oh, I hope you left all the plugs in from whatever.
Oh, let's do plugs now. We're going to do plugs now. So our listeners know they can follow us at Rock Call Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And they can also follow us. You're at K-Stud across all platforms. I'm at JoeKJoeK on Twitter and at JoeKwa on Instagram. Rockcallpod@gmail.com is the email. If you want to send us a message, that's great. I will be the one reading it. If Kristen is meant to read your message, you need to put her name in there somewhere. Otherwise, by her orders, I will not be forwarding it. I know I say that every week, but to make it clear, this is a decree that came down from Ms. Studdard herself.
I am not interested unless you have something specific that is for my eyes only, and it better be a compliment.
Yeah. And to be clear, that's not to say like, put Kristen in your email just because, like, put it in there because you think Kristen should or would want to see it.
Yes.
It's, yeah. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, of course. A subscription helps us to be visible. And you know what else helps us to be visible, which in turn helps us to grow as a podcast, is a rating and a review. And of course, if you're going to do a rating, if it's not 5 stars, then don't bother, because that hurts us. And it will, they'll kick us off.
Yeah, you know what? It not just hurts our rating, it hurts our feelings.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Okay. If you have something to say to us, you send Joe an email, and Joe only.
Yes, that's how it has to go down. And you know what? Have you already reviewed us, given us a rating? Find a friend's account and do it again.
Hey, maybe you got a couple Apple IDs. I don't know.
Who's to say? But it would be exciting for us to see that happen. You know what? When this episode comes out, maybe I'll start publicly pushing that we should have like a rating and review week or something to try and get those numbers up, get those ratings out, see if that does anything for us.
Juice the numbers. We're trying to juice the numbers.
Give us the juice, please. Well, anyway, thank you to Mike Lloyd for the logo. Thank you to Yusu Kim for the music. Thank you to Future Rock Legends for being the source of information for things like this. Thank you to AKG for the microphone. And thank you to Pantheon Podcasts for hosting us. I'm Joe Quazala.
And I'm Kristen Studdard.
And who cares
about the Rock Hall?